I'll do it for you.
What do you want?
Go like that.
Okay.
And do it like that.
Okay.
That way it's not in front of your face.
All right.
I'm leaving that in, dude.
That's fine.
We're putting it in.
Yeah.
Cheers, Brooksies.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, babe. It's been a long time.
I thought about coming over because I was like, I think they drink whiskey on the show. And I was like, you're part of the reason I stopped.
I'm the reason that you stopped drinking booze?
Well, the night of Skittles at your house.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Why don't you share that story? Wait a minute. Let me introduce my guest first.
Okay, sorry, sorry.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You were that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy and ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again today. Brooks Whelan, yay! Thanks for coming.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. You are honestly one of my best friends. We don't see each other almost ever anymore.
Ever. Yeah, it sucks.
But a while ago, we did constantly.
Yeah, we did.
And it was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was the best. It was like those, like, you know, the 2 years before things start working out are like the most fun years.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. I talked to a young comic about that, about like the best time you'll have is when everyone is the most poor and has literally nothing to lose.
Nothing to lose. And all you do as a comedian is surprise the audience because they're like, wow, he wasn't racist.
Wow, that guy was kind of good.
Yeah. Versus now you're like, hey, man, I paid $25. You better fucking.
You better murder.
Yeah.
You better murder. Did I have two fucking drinks? If you don't fucking kill, I'm going to be pissed. Yeah,
it was the most fun. Those years where we were bopping around.
Yeah, they were the best.
It was so fun. Yeah. And one, I lived in Long Beach and I would crash on your couch.
Yeah. Yep. That was really your couch. I mean, you owned it at some point.
Sure. Yeah. I lived there a lot. And one Halloween I rolled up and you went as Roses for the
right.
lady.
We need to explain that for people. That's there is a woman here in Los Angeles who walks around on Sunset
Many
Boulevard.
Women.
Well, yes. But one in particular that was in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
She's an older Mexican woman and she sells roses and she'll go to bars at night. This woman exists in every city, but this woman in particular was my favorite because she'll come up to you and she'll go, "Roses for the lady." And of course you're like, "Oh, no, thank you." And she's like, she's like, fuck you. She's so like brash about
she'll
you.
She'll like look at your lady and be like, can you believe?
Yeah. Piece of shit and walk away. So I dressed up that Halloween as Roses for the Lady
Roses
girl.
Roses for the Lady. So you're going around having roses.
I was handing people roses.
And I did the classic, forgot a costume.
Yeah, so very Brooks.
Shaved a mustache.
Mm-hmm.
Leather, members only jacket, unzipped, nothing underneath, with a bag of Skittles. And I went as a creep. This is in 2011, so still okay, I guess. And I would put Skittles in
people's... Was it okay then even?
No. We got asked to leave a lot of ours.
Yeah.
People wanted to fight me.
People wanted to fight you often.
And I put a Skittle in their drink, whatever their drink was. And
well, the funniest is when you put a Skittle in a guy's beer because you can't get it out.
No,
if it's in one of these, you can fish on someone.
Well,
go, fuck you.
But then I stayed in character because they're like, yo, what the fuck was that? And I just go, I'll see you later. And I would,
leave,
and then they'd be like, "Bro, you can't put stuff in people's drinks."
Yeah.
I'm like,
in retrospect, it was a terrible fucking idea.
Terrible idea. But bottom line, we were drinking. This is when I was drinking whiskey. Not when I hadn't stopped yet.
I was just gonna say,
and I just don't drink as much anymore. Mostly because this night, I got a giant bag of Skittles. We get wasted on Crown Royal because like that's at the point in our lives where we thought that was really nice whiskey.
That was high end shit.
Yeah, it was exciting. It was
we couldn't afford it.
It was like, are we getting fat tire? Like that's sort of like, dude, we got fat tire money.
Holy shit, is that Allagash White?
Mm-hmm.
Holy fuck, this guy's got money over here.
Yeah, so we drank Crown Royal and I ate like the whole bag of Skittles because I got drunk and I got Skittles that I'm fucking creeping everybody out with. And then we go back to your house. I'm blacked out. Mm-hmm. And it's your brand new apartment.
Yep, brand new. Just moved in.
And I threw up a fucking rainbow on your carpet. Didn't wake you up. It gets crazier.
Yeah. Oh, it's better.
Didn't wake you up at all. Took a shower. You're living with Alyssa.
Yeah.
Not married yet. Not
and,
even
I'm also, and I'm also, I was so drunk that I couldn't hear. I can't believe I didn't hear you banging around the apartment.
Yeah, because I took a shower in your shower and I've never been in that bathroom before.
Right.
Like I came to in the shower and I was like, oh boy, that's bad. And then I walked outside. I was like, it's worse. I threw up all over your carpet. So then you also, I guess, didn't wake up when I plug in your vacuum and just fucking vacuum up all the throw up.
Brand new vacuum. Literally just bought it that fucking day.
I vacuum up all my barf and I'm like, that'll fix everything, then put the vacuum away
in the closet you asshole.
And just zipped on out of the house,
yep.
Left my phone. So then I drive home to Long Beach at like 6 a.m, still wasted for sure.
For sure.
And I get there, I'm like, I don't know where my phone is. And then I call you and you're like, how fucking dare you?
Dude, I was so mad. Not because if you were still there, I would have been less mad. If you were there to handle the issue, I'd have been like, all right, he's here. No, you fucking ghosted on me.
Yeah.
And this is the worst part. I knew there was I could smell the throw up. Like I knew it was there. But I didn't even remotely think it would be in the vacuum. That was the biggest trip. Then yeah. I was like, oh, it's in my vacuum? It's not just out. I was like, God, I can't get rid of this. My brand new Dyson. Shout out to Dyson, yeah. Dude. Sucked it all right up.
I felt terrible. I bought you a new vacuum.
You did. You bought me a new vacuum.
That's when I was like, well, I don't think I should do hard alcohol.
I mean, you went deep. Let's also say, we were partying a lot, and you were instigating a lot of trouble. You wanted to get in trouble that night, whatever it was, whether it was harming yourself or others. You tried to. Many people tried to fight you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't. I'm not. I don't fight people. No. But I'll take it to the limit to where they want to fight.
That's exactly right. You push them right to the edge.
I fuck with people until I got knocked out because of it once.
That's only just one time?
Only one time I've been knocked out.
Because you push it sometimes.
Yeah, I don't anymore because I'm like, after you get knocked out.
When we were young, when we were in our young 20s, you would do things where we'd go out. And we'd be all fucking partying, and you'd be all you were doing is having too much fun. That's all it is.
Yeah, I just like to fuck with. I like to take a situation and make it weird.
Oh, you did.
And people don't like that if they don't know.
Yeah, it turns out people get fucking pissed off when you push them to the edge.
Yes,
100%. And you got knocked out because some dude was like,
"Well, yeah." So you go to Bump It. It was from It's Always Sunny. So I go to Bump It, and then I go, and it's like,
yeah.
And then I do a snake bite instead of a bump, and then I go, "I tricked you." And I was doing it to everybody at a house party one time, and I did some one guy, and he goes, I don't play games with strangers. And I was like, all right, this guy's crazy. I go, I'm really sorry, genuinely, I'm really sorry. Bump it for real. And he's like, I'm not joking. I go, no, for real. And I tsst him again, and he goes, do it one more time, and I'm going to knock you out. And I go, buddy, I swear, I do not want to fight. I really want to apologize. Go to bump it again, tsst. Do the snake bite on his hand. He knocks me the fuck out immediately. And I fall into I fall into like the pantry. It was in a kitchen at a house party.
Oh, it was a house party.
House party in Iowa City. And I get up and I'm just like, that guy sucker punched me. And my best friend Steve was like, no. No, he said he's going to knock you out.
he laid it out really obvious.
He said, do that again and knock you out. He knocked you out.
What kind of cartoon human goes, do it again, I swear. Obviously, you're going to do it again.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're going to do it again.
Then we went outside and fought for real.
Oh, you did?
And I won, and I wrestled, so I'm not going to throw a punch, but I choked him out.
Perfect.
And then I took his shoes off and threw him on the roof and then broke his phone. Yeah,
I'm not a fighter, but I'll choke you out, break your phone, throw your shoes on the fucking roof.
I felt so bad about that. That was when I was 21. I'll never fight again after. I felt so
bad. But did you feel bad? That guy sucker punched you.
I instigated
it. I know, but fuck that dude. He could have just pushed you in the chest hard.
I didn't like it. I didn't like what I did. I had to have dinner with my grandma like the next day, and my hands were all scuffed up.
Oh, Nana.
Because I tackled him in the street. Mm-hmm. And she's like, what happened? And I was like, I fell rollerblading.
Yeah. Perfect cover up.
Yeah, exactly.
Grandma doesn't think
you
twice.
Fall knuckles down.
Ow! That's how it always happens.
Yeah. So either way, yeah, that's who I used to be, and I'm not that guy anymore.
Moments of regret.
You were also, I will say, we have gotten the same level, like we've done all the stuff together that you do as stand-up comedians.
We have done a lot of stuff.
Comics to watch, new comics.
Did that together.
Where I got tossed out of the bar.
Yeah, you did. Tell that story. That's a great story.
I'll
give you a piece of what I remember.
I always sound worse. I guess I'm the instigator.
Well, what happened was, actually, we were partying really hard. Roger Waters was at that bar.
Yes.
Telling like stories. That was the craziest shit I've ever seen in my life.
Okay, so this is at the New York Comedy Festival. Yeah. We're doing Comedy Central's top 10 new comedians or whatever. It's like you, me, Berlant, DeStefano, like a bunch of fun people.
It was a lot of super funny fucking people. Actually. Yeah. Now that I think about the class, I was like, well, there was a really lot of fun.
Really fun. And naturally, we take it too far.
Too far. We were excited. We were in New York. They gave you a hotel. So, you're like, I want to party.
We're the youngest. We're the newest comics. We don't have any TV credits. And then you're part of the first festivals for Just for Laughs.
Yeah.
So we're like, I can't believe, like, that's Dave Attell, you know? Like,
it was fucking, it was incredible to see those guys. You were like, oh, I'm at the festival with these cool guys.
I'm in the same festival as Maria Bamford.
So naturally, we drank as much as we could.
So naturally, we got thrown out of the party.
Because Brooks goes, they go, we're closing the open bar. Comedy Central doesn't want to pay for an open bar anymore. They're done. Mm. Instead of listening to Roger Waters tell cool stories to strangers, Brooks and I were like, let's steal liquor from the bar.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But I said as I said it, Brooks was doing it. It wasn't like formulated a plan. You just went behind the bar and started stealing liquor.
Yeah, I put a like a bottle of vodka in my jean pocket, the inside jean pocket that still had like the spout on it.
Yeah.
And the guy was like, buddy, come on.
It was so obvious. It wasn't even like remotely hidden. He just goes, dude, and grabs you. You're like, whoa, come on.
Yeah. I was like, he's grabbing me.
Harassment, dude.
And then we stayed another night in the hotel because I was like, I can't, I'm not in any shape to leave.
No, that was one of the most fun festival times I've ever had. Now we're just different.
So sincerely excited to be there.
Yeah, we were genuine.
With your friend. Yeah, I think we like slept in the bed together the next day. Because I was like, I'm staying.
I was like, I'm fucking staying.
Yeah, yeah. I just called down. I was like, put another night on it. I think
whoever paid for it.
I'm sure I had to pay for it. But like in my head, I was like, Comedy Central will get this. No, absolutely not.
Comedy Central will get this. That's a phrase I've never heard. Comedy Central will get this. Don't worry about it.
But we've had like so many fun times.
Yeah, we did. And then you left me and moved to New York for a while.
Oh yeah, that was a treat for me.
What were you doing out there? Mad TV?
I was
in
doing
Living Color?
SCTV.
SCTV. Yeah. Oh, the remake of it?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
This is what I won't talk about. Brooks did Saturday Night Live.
I did do it. And
we don't need to talk about it.
Well, we can talk about it.
Let me just say the one quote that I know that you said to me.
Okay.
New York is the city that broke my brain. That's what you said. And that stuck out to me. That will forever stick out. I think I've repeated that to people. I go, you know, New York, that's the city that broke Brooks's brain.
It did.
You repaired it, but it broke for a while.
I went there so happy, like so excited, 26, and it
was
just kicked me in the dick so hard.
Yep.
And it was, I was just like, woof.
It fucked you up.
Fucked me up for like probably 3 years.
Well, what fucked you up the most? Was it?
It was Saturday Night Live. It was getting on your dream show and failing. Is difficult.
I think that's fucked up because it's not a fail.
It is to you though.
Sure, in a personal level, but from an outside perspective, it's not a fail.
Sure, it was.
Because you're
to
one
me.
Of 1,000 people that have been fired from that show.
Right, but so I go on that show, I fail, and then I also move there, and we don't need to get into this too deep, with a girl who I just met, and we end up getting
Charlize
engaged.
Theron.
Yes. You guys, she hosted one of the episodes. and then I got engaged to her, and then that fell apart, so that was also involved in New York.
Right.
So it was losing the show, and
SNL.
Then,
engagement gone.
Engagement that blew up. Mm-hmm. That is not my fault. I will go to. They're definitely not on me.
Yeah, that's not on you.
It was a combo of like, oh man, I really stink.
Right. It was you beating up yourself.
Yeah, I remember. So I stayed in New York. This is like a classic New York story. I stayed in New York for two more nights. My fiance at the time had like come back to LA because she was like, I don't want to help you move, and I don't want to help.
I love you.
Us
but I'm not gonna
move.
Help you move shit.
Us move.
Yeah. Our shit.
So I stayed to do some shows for John Oliver because I opened for him a bunch at the Beacon Theater, and I was like, okay, I'll hang out, I'll do these, then I'll roll home. And I go do the John Oliver shows and I get really drunk because it's my last night. Like, I'm late to the shows because I got to return my Spectrum box, like my cable box.
Which would have been helpful if she was around to help you on
that. Yeah, it would have really helped. So then I go, I'm like going
carrying home. Carrying a Spectrum box down fucking.
Yeah, on the subway, like to go do these theater shows.
That's a really sad image, by the way.
Oh, it was so sad. So then I do the shows. I like him, but then I get real drunk. Like, he had like, you know, HBO had brought him a nice bottle of scotch or something. So I put it down.
Yeah.
Because I'm sad.
He's like, oh, you like that?
Yeah. Well, either way. But then I get so drunk on the subway home. I'm taking the subway home to my empty apartment to move back to LA, a failure the next day. I started crying because I was like, you know what? Maybe it wasn't New York City. Maybe it was me and my attitude that I brought here, because it was like a beautiful image. I remember a guy was playing violin like on like the, like, you know, Broadway Lafayette stop, and I was like, that's so beautiful. Like, and I start crying and I was just like sobbing uncontrollably. And a woman came over from the subway, like across, and she put her hand on my shoulder, and this fucking really happened. She goes, I was at the show, you didn't do that bad.
was like, that's such a good moment.
I was like, I wasn't crying.
She's like, no, no, no. I mean, you suck, but no, it wasn't.
That's
like,
what it was. I was like, I thought it went pretty good.
She's like,
yeah, that was
She's like, I get the crying, but like, do it alone. Don't do it in public.
Just, yeah, day after day, you just walk out and people want to fight.
From an outside perspective, from me, like, as my, you were my first friend to like do the show. Well, actually, that's not true. That's not true. But like, you were the closest person I knew that did the show.
Yeah, I was so, I mean, I've been so excited for your successes. And that was the first time I got to quit my job to go do it.
It was the coolest thing. I remember feeling it for you. And the one thing I'll say, now that it's all in the past, the one thing that was a bummer for me is I thought you felt like you weren't having fun. Like, it felt like you weren't having... To me, I was like, oh, he doesn't look like he's having any fucking fun.
No, I wasn't having any fun.
Because I came and I saw you, and I was like...
I was
like,
miserable.
Yeah, I was like, he wasn't having any fun. That's what bummed me out the most about it. I was like, oh, he's not having any fucking fun.
Yeah, I was
fun.
In an intense, bad relationship, and also...
Well, the stress and pressure of that show. I've talked about that show on this fucking thing a lot, but...
Well, I remember... And then also, we had like kind of a little... So I'm fired, and then you're testing like the next day to maybe... Because you almost went on the next year. Because you and Pete were like...
Yeah, me and Pete were the ones that were testing for the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I remember at my birthday, my 28th birthday, all SNL comes or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
And they're there. I'm fired. And they're like, what do you know about Andrew Santino? I was like, he's a great guy. Now's not the fucking... You're replacing
this isn't
me.
It. Yeah, this isn't it.
I was like, he's awesome. What? But I'm like, you just fired me and you want me to tell you who to hire for instead of me?
It was a bad situation. In retrospect, I've talked about that. I don't want to harp on it, but I think Pete was the right choice. They wanted someone very young. I was 31. What was that? 32? I don't know,
man. But
all I remember is you being happier when the show was over because it was like this huge weight off your shoulders.
It was
so obvious to me as your friend from the outside.
I was so happy before I went there.
Right.
And then I came back broke. Like,
yeah, but you started to find yourself again more.
No, it was like... I like going outside and camping and like traveling. I love that. Yeah. And when you're in New York, you're kind of in New York. I didn't have a car. If you want to go anywhere, you got to get on a train, and it's not even like you can go far away on a train. So it was just felt trapped in New York,
which is why this works better for you.
I love Los Angeles because I can leave.
Well, now easy transition. Wink. Yeah. You're doing a show called Travels and Such.
Yeah,
for ATC because you want to get out and fucking.
Well, yeah, it was basically just all things comedy. We're like. Which I've invited you on one.
Yeah, I want to go do it.
It'll be super fun. Yeah, it was just, all things comedy was like, what do you want to do? And I was like, I like to camp. And they're like, we'll film it. And I was like, cool.
It's really cool. It's you and two comic
two
friends.
Buds.
And you just go out to wherever?
Yeah, so to wherever. So the next one that I want you to do is you and Billy Wayne Davis. I want to go to the Kern River.
Love. Let's go.
Yeah. I was there this weekend.
I love that guy.
It was awesome.
He's a new dad.
He's also an older dad. I think he has an older child too.
Well, I mean, he's just got a new kid.
Yeah, he got a brand new
kid.
Yeah,
they just bought it.
Billy Wayne's
Amazon.
Best. Yeah. They
droned it to him. Yeah.
That's great. You not getting SNL. Thank God, right?
It's interesting. It's interesting to I'm almost glad I didn't get it because I never really saw myself dating Ariana Grande or Kate Beckinsale. You know what the funny thing was is like everyone over there treated me really nice and I knew a bunch of people, but it was funny going over there and seeing like Beck and Kyle and those guys. And the mood has always been, even though those guys are awesome, dope dudes, when you show up there to say hello, because you're like, I'm going to meet with Lauren about maybe doing the show.
Yeah.
And everyone, including people that know you, are like, oh yeah, cool, what's up, man? Hey.
No,
People are like, get the fuck away from me.
I was so genuinely, I think I was too excited to be there.
Yeah.
But they kind of beat that out of me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I showed up, I was like, this is fucking awesome. And they're like, be quiet. And I'm like, no, this is amazing. Like, yeah. And everyone
people,
was like,
well, people kind of want to temper your expectations because I think there's so much stress and pressure. People feel overwhelmed.
I mean, sure. But like, I remember when Kyle did an update the first week and I tackled him in the hall and was so happy.
So excited.
Him. Yeah. I was just like happy for the crew, you know, because to me, the crew was all the new dudes. And yeah, it's just like, it's just kind of, it's a bummer. But I did meet a bunch, so many cool people there.
I was just going to say, there was good experience. When I went to go visit SNL and Drake was performing. That was like the wildest. I was drunk as shit from drinking in Beck's dressing room.
Well, that was mine too.
Yes.
Or is this when I was still there?
No, you were there, weren't you?
I knew Drake was around a lot because
he performed.
Yep, he was host and performer when
and
I
the
was
one
there.
Where he maybe that was you with you, maybe you were still in, you were there when and
me,
we went to like Dave and Buster's or whatever afterwards.
Yes, yeah, because me, Beck, and Kyle shared a dressing room. And Drake was so cool.
Yeah.
He laughs a lot.
Yeah.
And we did a sketch where we both played Disney, like guys who worked at Disney World.
Yeah.
And I think Michael Bryan was there too or something. And Drake, we're the same age. And he was like, dude, we're only like one or two bad decisions from like being these guys. Like to me, because me and him were getting along together.
You're like, Drake.
And O'Brien goes, Brooks is one or two bad decisions. You're like three albums. Like, yeah, he's like, yeah. No, you're not going to.
You're a lifetime away.
Brooks is pretty close to this. Yeah. And that's like nothing. O'Brien was just laughing. He's like, no, you guys are not close.
But I like how even somebody at the top of his game still thinks he's like, they could take me down.
That guy ruled, man.
Yeah, he was cool. He threw an after party at Dave and Buster's and two chicks got into a fight. That was probably the wildest shit I've ever seen in my life.
I probably left.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, also there's an after party. Everyone knows this SNL stuff. But at the after party, I was already lit up, and it's like people are having kind of like dinner at tables with like agents.
The after party of SNL, I've never been to a thing less cool.
Yeah, it's the most uncomfortable thing in the world.
Because it's not a party. You go, it's 1:30 in the morning.
You know what it feels like? It feels like you going to a relative's house and you have to say hi to a lot of people.
Yeah, and like Lauren sits in one spot, and then based on who you are in the show, you have to sit further away from that.
Right.
And I'm like, if there was that,
be
also,
outside.
We would make fun of it. Also, the SNL after parties are at like fucking McCormick and Schmitz.
Right.
They're not cool. It's not fun.
TGI
like,
Fridays.
Yeah, it's like upper end, like, you know, chain restaurants.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And then there are really cool ones. There's neat things, but like then that one's weird and lame and everyone has to have dinner while. And also everyone like wants to talk. And in my head, I'm like, I just fucking bombed. Like I right. wasn't on. And then
there's a lot of anxiety still flowing through the air.
Yeah. So like, and then at the after parties where like, you know, the cast and crew gets to go and bitch.
Right.
Because it's literally like an after work party for everyone who works there.
Right.
But for everyone else, they're like, what a cool party. And then you're trying to talk. I'm like, dude, I'm just. Do you know how much this job sucks?
You're
like,
deep in your head.
Yeah. So in my head.
Well, meanwhile, at that after party dinner, it was so uncomfortable. I was sitting at a table of agents and I was like.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I'm going to go say hi to Lauren. And people are like, really? Mm-hmm. But I was drunk. And I don't care. I'm not on that show. It was already past my, you know what I mean? Like I was gone.
Oh,
so
wait,
I walked, I beelined up to him. And I was like.
Oh, so this is after I'm gone.
Yes.
So you'd already, okay, yeah.
Yeah. And I went right up to him and I was like, mm-hmm. Hey man, what's up? And everybody was like.
He doesn't mind it.
No, he was cool. But everyone around was like, what are you doing? Like,
no,
he was cool. He didn't give a shit. I was like, what's that? He was like, hey, hello. I was like, well, I got to see. I think people around didn't expect me to like interrupt right. I was like, I just want to fucking say hi. He's still a human. I was like.
What I will say about Lauren and why I got hired is because I didn't treat him any different when I was a writer. Because I got hired to write on the show.
Right.
And I wrote there for only three weeks. And I never wanted to be a writer on the show. So I was just comfortable. And Lauren was, we had a bunch of meetings with him and, you know, dinner and
right.
talked to him in his office. And like, I'd be like, L Dog, you know, and like, I just wasn't scared of him.
L Dog.
Yeah, I called him L Dog.
Yeah,
I'd go, L Dog.
Just to watch him go, har, 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 har.
No, he would just be like, he'd like nod his head and walk down the hallway.
But it would be funny if he engaged.
But that's how I treated it when I was a writer. Cause I was like, well, I'm 1 year and out. I don't want to write on this show. And then he saw that as confidence. Put me in the show. And after that, I was like, you and me suck your dick. Like I lost all confidence around him and I just became a puss.
Yeah, but that happens. That's hard.
Yeah.
Hard.
They just like took, they, yeah, I was just like, what do I need to do to be in the show? Cause like writing for the show, I enjoyed.
Yeah.
Cause if your sketch doesn't get on, whatever. But like if you're, cause at the table read, if you wrote the sketch and it bombs, you're not the one delivering it. But if you're on the show and you wrote the sketch and it bombs, you wrote it and you're delivering it. It fucking sucks.
How many times did that happen?
Oh, like 60? I wrote like 70. I think like 70 sketches and like 10 got on. So 60 times it was bombs.
That's a pretty hard hit, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's actually not. And it's not even that bad for like getting.
No,
10,
it just
like
hurts.
Getting like 10 on for your first year is like good.
That's really good. Who did you write with the most?
Tim Robinson and Zach Cannon.
Yeah.
And then Michael Che. Me and Che would write every week something. We wrote, so me and Che wrote like 21 sketches. One of them got on, but it was
which one got on?
It was one. It was about an old bit you might have seen me do. Bottom line, me and Che were writing this terrible idea called Billionaires in Helicopters Eating Caviar, where Jerry Seinfeld was the host and he flew helicopters. And one of the producers came in, they check in, like, what are you guys writing on? And we're like, billionaires in helicopters eating caviar, and you could just see him be like, "You guys are fucking up. This is not gonna work." And then I was, I was like, "I got a different idea." And it was a this old bit I used to do when that movie 42 came out,
the Jackie Robinson,
where I would go on stage and I would be like, "I didn't have enough time. I got an audition tomorrow. I know this is a stand-up show, but I have a, it's big, and I just want to workshop my audition. It's for the new Jackie Robinson film," and I would just start screaming, "It's not right! It's not!" Right, not my league. Yeah, and I did it to him, to the producer, and he was like, "That's great." So then we just shoehorned it into 12 Years a Slave auditions, where didn't want to say the words on the page.
Right, that's fucking funny.
Yeah, it was the only one that me and Che got on, but it was fun. Yeah,
yeah. Well, Che's fucking,
he's the best. He doesn't give a shit. Dude.
He gets me every time. Every time I watch. Every time I watch his shit, he really does. I think he does this thing that I really enjoy about comedy today. What's happening is, like, he does a good job of picking on, in a politically centered show, especially now in the past fucking 3 or 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
He does a good job at picking at both sides, which I think is very fun to watch. It's funny to watch him shit on Democrats and Republicans.
He just likes burning it down, man.
Yeah, I like, but that's funny to me. What's funny to me is, like, being able to shit on everybody. Because shitting on the thing that everyone's already shitting on is like, okay.
No, he looks at
it's like, almost too easy.
I mean, I can't speak for him because we haven't hung out like a lot in the last like 3 or 4 years, but it used to be every day, you know?
Right.
But he would look at something from like, hey, what's the politically correct side? And I'm not going to be politically incorrect, but I'm going to be like, let's look at the other side too.
Totally. But that's what comedy's supposed to be.
Not in like a, hey, you guys are being sensitive way, but like, he was just fun. Like,
That's what comedy is. That's in its core. Comedy is going, oh, is this the thing that's happening? Let me just see the other angle of it. Whatever it is.
I remember he had this sketch he wanted to make work so bad about who's the first guy to come up with that really screwed the pooch. Yeah, because he was like, oh boy, I really screwed the pooch on that one. Someone's like, wait, what?
He's like, yeah, you know, I messed up.
Yeah, you know, you had sex with a dog? No, we don't though.
No, that's a great bit.
So this is like my relationship with Che is like, because we were stand-ups together, we mm-hmm. got hired together. When you meet another stand-up, you just immediately like, hey, we should hang out.
Other stand-ups, you're like, we're best friends.
Well, yeah,
right away, no matter who they are,
in a non-stand-up world,
right?
So we got this. We had to do an NBC sexual harassment training. It's like, you know, long.
All these, by the way, all these shows do this. For people that don't know, every time you get hired on a show, you got to sit in a room and listen to some poor person delve out this like sad.
Right.
Like legal rhetoric about what you can and cannot do. And of course, there's always like a union guy or like a grip or a lighting guy that's like, gay.
Yeah.
There's always someone that's like,
so
shits on
it. So we get this serious thing. And then me and Che immediately go in the other room and wrote the first ever sexual harassment training seminar.
Great.
Where it was basically it was Lady Gaga. And she was just like, guys, no more spankings. And we're like, what if it's her birthday? And she's like, I know, it makes sense. You know? But then, like you know, Jay would raise her hand. She goes, yes, the black. You know, it was still super offensive, but like...
But funny.
Yeah, well, yeah, it was just sexual harassment seminar in 1948, yeah, where they're still racist as hell.
Yeah, they let it all out.
Yeah, and it did all right at the table. I don't know. We've been talking about SNL way too much.
It's been a lot.
Looking at it this way, it's really fun.
Yeah, this is more fun. Yeah. Drinking and talking about it. But that's really how we look at all of our history, right?
100%.
It's this stuff that does it. By the way, I don't have a plug. I don't have a whiskey plug. A bunch of people have said that we should get one. We're working on one. This is specifically for Brooks. This is Kirkland makes whiskey. This is from Costco.
Yeah, no, this is Costco. What is this, Black Velvet?
By the way, this ranks as good as medium shelf whiskey. Like it tested
really?
Well again. Okay. Yeah, it's funny because Kirkland makes really good stuff. This is like 6 year age Canadian whiskey. It's oak cask age. I think there's this weird thing about Kirkland vodka. I don't know if you know about that, but they like tested it against other vodka and it was like comparable to Grey Goose. And it's funny because Costco obviously sells everything for cheap and someone goes, it doesn't look fancy, but this is the big bottle. Because
it'll do the job.
But this will. But this is actually good whiskey. Don't you like it? Actually pretty fucking good.
I'm having fun when I sip it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're not going to chug it.
But I usually just slam.
No. See, that you got to. This isn't particularly a sipping whiskey, but right. I wanted to bring it out for you because the bottle is big and you're a big boy.
Thank you so much.
Who's my big boy?
Brooksy is a big boy.
So, I want to move. Let's shift away from the SNL shit.
Of course, it was just like.
But it was a moment.
It was exciting. I remember You were one of my first friends in Los Angeles. You got punked.
Yeah.
You know what I would watch?
I got MTV's punked.
No, but you know what you did before that that I thought was so cool and I watched every day? It was your MSN, like, daily updates.
That was
like
my first job in LA.
Yeah, I know. You got to quit.
That's how I got to quit work.
Yeah.
Think about it, Elias. I got to quit my job for an MSN show. You got to quit your job for SNL.
Sure. Either. But, yeah, but, I mean, I was getting fired. Like, it wasn't.
Yeah, it was. But, it was happening.
Yeah. So. But yeah. I would like watch your MSN thing every day and text you. I was like, I saw you on the, it's the homepage. It's the homepage.
I did a job for MSN called the Surf Report. And it was like a daily, that was the funniest part. People complained that there wasn't actually a surf report involved. Mm-hmm. Like people would watch and be like, where's the actual report about the surf?
I don't go to huntingtonbeach.com.
Yeah,
dude.
But dude, people will get mad and write Yahoo and be like, or MSN and be like, where the fuck is it? I want to know about the waves. But we did the show. We did this show every day. And it was so, it was my first hosting job and it was so dumb and simple and it was hosted on their homepage and it was the thing that literally got me to quit my job. Like I was
so excited for you.
I got to quit jobs.
Yeah, like our like core group of buds that we came up with, like Robbie Pickard and Tom Vrabb and Brent Morin. Like,
and you know who else who's popped off more than ever? Who did this show?
Who?
Fahim Anwar.
Fahim.
Fahim started with us, and I remember, this is a mean story, but I don't care. I think I told it when he was on the show. He filled in for me when I was doing the Queen Mary, and the booker the next week was like, who was that guy that filled in for you? I was like, my buddy Fahim, he's fucking hilarious. Yeah. And we were all just starting out. We were all, you know, garbage. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and I go, right? It's good. And he goes, no, he can't come back. He was like, he can't fill in for you anymore.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, why? No. And of course I know why. None of us were that good. And it was a bad environment for comedy anyway. So like we all handled different versions of shitty rooms different ways. And I think that was just a bad fucking room for
them. Oh man. Yeah. I would go, I'm going to bomb on my terms and do weird stuff.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do real jokes.
You did riskier shit back then.
Yeah, I used to duct tape the mic to my head because they said I wanted a, I would go up furious and say I demanded a headset mic like NSYNC because I used my hands.
So good.
And then I would duct tape it.
Would you do that today?
No.
Isn't that so funny?
Yeah.
Funny and it's stupid.
I used to wear rollerblades on stage and say my name was Terry Blades.
Terry Blades, baby.
Pomona's top prop comedian.
Wait, didn't you do that? Did you talk about that on your half hour? You talked about.
No. You know what I did on the half hour? Because we did the half hour together.
We did the half hour together for Comedy Central.
And I honestly, you know what? I got to email Comedy Central and be like, can we put this clip out? Because I don't know if you ever do a half hour for Comedy Central, they shoot it into the fucking space when you're
disappears
done.
Forever. Yeah.
And nobody knows where they are. Find it.
Unless you rip it illegally like I did and put it on YouTube.
I gotta do that.
I keep doing it and they keep taking it down.
I gotta do it. But either way, I was going for a run the night before we did it, and you're there. Again, we've done all these fun things together. And the half hour was really fun.
Half hour was super fucking fun.
It was so fun. Because you and I were kind of a little over it.
Yeah.
You get shit when you're over it.
When you're a little bit like, ugh, all right.
You're like, I would rather do an hour.
Well, here's how I knew I was kind of over it. When they asked for a transcript of the jokes and I brazenly said no.
Yeah, I didn't do it either.
Yeah, I know you did. We talked about it. I was like, because a lot of people are like, did you turn in your transcript for all your jokes? I was like, I'm not writing that stuff up.
No, absolutely not.
I was like, you saw my jokes. You know what I'm going to do. I'm not going to dictate them.
That my half hour was me riffing in the B-sides from my album.
Yeah, it was really good.
But, so the night before, I went out jogging and I saw like a no rollerblading thing. And you and me and maybe Hampton were like, stoned in my room or yours?
In your room.
In my room.
Yeah, in your
room. And I did this bit of a guy who had just gotten furious at you in Hampton, but I had rollerbladed to the fucking into the hotel room. So I was screaming for you guys to go fuck yourselves. But then I had to put my rollerblades on. So it took like 20 minutes, not 20 minutes, but like 5 minutes, me being like, I can't wait to never see any one of you guys. And then you guys laughed so hard.
Oh,
I was like,
dude, it was so funny.
I was like,
dude,
I should do that. And then I end up closing my half hour on it.
It was hysterical.
It was so
the
fun.
The guy leaving who tried to say fuck you and then put on rollerblades is so funny.
So I've only done it once and it was the half hour.
It was such a good bit.
So well that I was like, oh, I don't think I should ever do that again.
That's kind of one of those. Sometimes those are those perfect moments when if you did do it again, you might not even like it. You're like, that was good for that thing.
It worked
thing.
Perfect. There were stairs. And it was because you, me, and Hampton were stoned the night before just kicking it.
Baked out of our head. Well, also because we knew we were taping the next night. And I was like, we should, like a lot of comics were like, I want to get good sleep. I want to be, and I was like, No, we got a fucking party. But it was me, you, and Hampton were the only ones that like
wanted
to go do stuff.
I think the best thing you can do before you record a big thing for me, and yeah, you're very loose on stage too, is not do stand up for a little bit.
Yeah, go leave it alone for a minute.
I want to be excited.
People that do stand up the night before that they do the thing, I don't know how they do
We went to Laugh Boston and they're like, do you want to run your sets? I was like, maybe. And I went with, I saw the crowd. I go, no.
No way.
I'm confident and this is going to make me uncomfortable.
Yes, it's going to fuck me up.
That's nothing against Laugh Boston, but it was just like a bad room where I was like, I don't need this before that.
No, it's not the room. It was like, I just felt uncomfortable going, God, what if I hate it right now? Then yeah, I'm really going to fucking hate it.
Yeah.
When you did Conan, I watched you run the Conan set and then I went with you and I saw you do Conan. I watched you.
You were
Conan
at Conan. Yeah. I was pretty buzzed up for that one.
That was great though.
I was pretty banged up because you can do, I remember my manager at the time for the half hour, I wasn't drinking. I won't drink for 30 minutes of stand up. You can't headline drunk.
No.
But you can do 5 minutes of very rehearsed material.
Totally.
Drunk.
Yeah.
So I rolled
like a robot.
It's another thing I learned from testing at SNL is I was like, I don't know if they're going to have beers there and I don't know if they check bags. I don't know, but I'm going to be nervous. And I know they sit you in those rooms for a while. You're in the rooms for a while. So I brought a six pack and I was like, this is the smartest thing I've ever done. So I did that to Conan too. Only brought like 18, and you and Brent were there, and like Burns, and so we all tore into
it. Yeah, we all ripped that shit up. Of course, we're all like party. You're like, I have to go on TV.
Yeah, I'm like, oh fuck. I was like, I think he's almost done interviewing like Allison Janney.
Yeah, yes, an award winning actress. Then you come out, and you're like, hey, I'm drunk. I'm here to tell some jokes.
It was so fun though. But yeah, that was fun that you came. It's like, we're I'm excited. What I meant to say earlier is like, the group that we started with, I'm so excited for everyone's success.
Yeah.
It's like weird to not, we're in an industry where we get jealous a lot. And it's fun when I'm like, oh, Scrammy got that. Yeah. He's perfect for that.
It's when you're younger, I think there's a lot more jealousy. And then you get older and there's a lot more celebration because it's like fun. You're happy for people because you know your thing is coming or you're already doing a thing. It's way easier to, look, I think, I don't know who was talking about it.
But it's also easier once you're done a few things and you don't get to be as jealous.
Yeah, I mean, look, fucking Mark Norman and I were talking about it and he was like, LA has cultivated this new culture where just in the last couple of years where like people are really kind of like rising each other up a little bit and the podcast thing helps and these big shows where all these comics are together.
I'm never going to congratulate anyone on Twitter though. I'm going to tell you to your face.
Oh yeah, I'm going to talk to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I'm not going to be like, this guy's check out Santino. His new podcast is amazing.
He's a genius.
I'll text you. Hey, great job.
Yeah, no. Twitter.
I'm not going to publicly.
Twitter's pretty unjust. The only thing I like Twitter for now is like a great funny video. Twitter's so sad now that I get on it. I'm like, oh, just give me like something hilarious.
I typed in dogs today. Didn't disappoint.
Yeah.
It was great.
That's the best. I just don't want to see sad shit anymore on Twitter. What did I see today that made me laugh so fucking hard? Oh, these three guys. You know the blob in a lake? You know the blob, the thing that you put in a lake and two people jump on one side and one guy gets shot?
I'm so excited already.
Yeah, the blob. If people don't know, you should search it. It's called the blob. It's this big, air inflated mechanism you put in like a lake and it has, you know.
It's probably like 80% full of air.
Yeah.
One guy goes sits on the end.
One guy goes sits on the end. Two people jump simultaneously.
Or a big old fatso.
If you got a big old fatso.
and he belly flops on it. And it usually shoots like an 8-year-old about 300 feet in the
air.
When
kids go on it, it's the funniest shit I've ever.
It's shocking.
It's comical. It actually looks like it could definitely break bones. You know, when they're like, at a certain height, water is concrete.
Yeah.
These three friends, and one of them is a little person. A grown man, little person, and he's smiling. He's like, gonna go to the end. And he goes out right to the tip. And these two dudes are like, you good, dude? And he's like, I'm good. And he's holding like a GoPro fucking camera arm.
So we can get a couple angles.
We can get close up.
We can see his eyes
pop
out.
These two dudes jump. And I guess the thing they were talking about, simultaneous inflation, obviously, is going to create more lift, you know, science. These two dudes hit at the exact same time because they're holding arms. Mm-hmm. And this fucking dude gets, I mean, it rockets so hard so fast. Then in the video, edit cut him like shooting to space, like swimming, beating Michael Phelps, like all of this fast shit. But when they do the real time with the GoPro, you've never seen such hilarious panic and fun. Like he's going, like he's loving it, but he's flailing as hard as he can.
Yeah, because he doesn't know when's he going to stop going up.
It's never going to end.
That sounds
But so I watched nice. That probably 20 times today because it made me laugh so fucking hard.
The internet is great.
That's why the internet's great. Mm-hmm. But then it gets into this negative shit and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can. Yeah. Although I did see a funny clip. Tiffany Haddish was at like the Met Gala, the gala and Met Gala. Am I saying it right?
Yeah, it's what it's why I totally understand why America hates Hollywood.
It's also why I understand that everybody hates America. I think the whole world.
yeah. So it's like why America hates this part of America and what the rest of the world thinks America is.
Exactly. Yeah. Women who wear nine hats on top of each other. Yeah. Jared Leto holding his fucking face.
Yeah.
But Tiffany Haddish was like, I don't know who she saw, but she was like, you know, her quote is, "She ready?" That's her thing. And she goes, "Oh, look at you. She ready?" And the reporter was like this white nerdy chick from like E or some shit. And okay. She goes, "She's ready. She is ready."
Oh, that's great.
Dude, I was in bed dying. Dude, like,
Tiffany Haddish is fucking great.
She's phenomenal.
She came up
best.
To me one time and she goes, "You know how I know you're doing better?" I go, "What?" She goes, "You got tighter pants now." She was like, "You got those tight pants."
The tight pants.
And I was like, "That is... You know what? I am doing better." That means a lot.
And even if you weren't, you still feel better.
It felt great. Yeah. And then she like shit on Mike Burns. She's like, "And what are you doing?" Like, and I was like, "Yeah, shit on Burns."
Yeah. Hurt him. Hurt him bad.
Hurt him. He hurts me.
he hurts me. That's why I want to fucking continue this. That's love. You know that? That's love. When you hurt people, that's how you know you really like them.
I'm trying to think like the funniest thing I couldn't stop watching. I don't know. There was something the other day that I showed like 100. Oh, it's literally like the easiest, funniest joke ever. It's listeners literally type in who's the lead singer of Smashing Pumpkins? I'm going to sound like an idiot right now.
Oh my God, you're making me Billy Corgan.
Billy Corgan. Yes, Billy Corgan. It's Billy Corgan riding a roller coaster, and it's just the intro to the
1979.
Yeah. And it just, when it starts to go over the hill, he goes, "Wee!" And I was like, this is so perfectly stupid.
Yeah.
I watched it so many times. I send it to people I haven't talked to in years.
Some of those things are so exactly what you need to start the day.
Yeah.
What's your routine, by the way? Do you have a routine now?
Oh man, no. I'm trying to get a better one. I got fat. Did you get that? Did you get to where your metabolism stopped?
I got sad fat. I got like real nervous and sad fat.
In way better shape than you used to be.
Oh, I used to be a terrible schlub.
So I was. Always decent.
You've always been the same size guy.
But then I went on the road for like 5 weeks in a row.
Yeah.
Of, you know, like the improvs, which are, you're just like you're on a strip mall 30 miles out of Raleigh.
You're on top of a highway.
Yes.
You live on a highway.
So I was like drinking beers and eating Buffalo Wild Wings, and I came back from that like fat. So now I've tried to get into running in the morning and then running at night.
You do, wait, twice a day?
6 miles. I try. That's my new thing, run 6 miles every day.
So 3 in the morning and 3 at night?
But before that, it was just wake up and be sad. But now I'm in like this a relationship that I like a lot, and I live with my girlfriend, and it's just like easier when you're with someone who like helps.
Is she supportive of comedy's hours or no? Does she get annoyed?
What do you mean? Comedy, the hours
the
that
hours
we do?
Of comedy.
Well,
because we keep the worst fucking hours.
I barely go out. You do the store. Like you perform
I'm
lot
there every night
in Los Angeles. Yeah. I don't.
Yeah.
When I'm here, I'm rarely up.
But when you do, it's bad hours.
But I'm home before, you know, it's worse hours. What I probably do is go drink at my bud's place till 2.
That's bad hours.
Yeah, it's bad hours.
That's way worse hours.
But she's fine. I don't know.
But that's what I do too. Like drinking with your buds is what the comedy store is. Like go do work and drink with your buds.
Yeah.
But she's cool with it all. She's not a comic.
She's not a comic at all.
She's a human.
Yes. And I met her. She's just a cool waitress at the Rustic and not there anymore. It's a terrible bar.
Barbara Streisand is his girlfriend.
Yeah. But either way, it's I just don't leave the East Side very much. I'm very East Side centric.
Yeah, you stick to your pocket.
Yeah, I skateboard around Los Feliz. And you're over here. You're in the Hollywoods.
Not anymore, dude. I'm not going to tell anybody where the fuck I am. Those creepy motherfuckers.
Yeah,
I moved. I did move.
I know you moved.
Yeah, I'm gone, but I'm nowhere near.
I know where you are.
But
now.
These guys can't.
I understand.
Did you know
that.
What they do?
Sure. I don't care.
They kill you.
Do they?
They're coming to find you skateboarding.
Somebody.
She's going to be you.
You
Brooks. Hey, what's up?
You think you're John Lennon famous? That's your. You're like. I'm
I
worried.
Think. Here's how famous I am.
Okay.
Here's how famous I am.
All right.
I thought about this the other day. I'm at a weird level of not famous, but like, famous is not the right word. I'm noticeable.
I'm
where somebody goes, oh, hey.
It's because you've been in enough stuff. I'm less famous than I used to be. There was a moment.
You just might not get recognized as much.
Also in New York on SNL, you're pretty recognizable.
They all know you.
It's like their show.
But New York also doesn't give a fuck about you.
In New York, you're on the subway. In New York, if you're on SNL, people are like, who's
the guest?
What's up this week? Like people, New York City feels like that's their show. Cause it is. And it outlasted everyone. And so they're very, very friendly to you when you're doing that show. And then out here, I'm like the 3,000th most famous person they saw.
Yeah, there's too many people here. That's why. Like at any point, I can go get something to eat, like I did yesterday, and see the guy from That 70s Show who played Fez. What's his name?
Oh, Wilder Valderrama.
Wilder Valderrama.
You should know. You're MTV bros.
We are MTV buds, and I did try to tweet him through our private MTV app, but he didn't. For some reason, he didn't hit me back.
Okay, what? Let's do this. Most famous person you saw in the wild that it was a little shocking. Like not at a party. You just were
in the wild?
In the wild.
The most famous person I saw in the wild.
You were just like, that's cool.
Was this is very small. Mine was, I saw Nick Van Exel at a Lakers game and I loved him.
But that's a Lakers game.
No, but he doesn't play. He hasn't played in years. He's a basketball player.
All right, okay, cool.
I just thought it was cool. I was like, whoa, what are you doing fucking, you're watching the game with us, like with humans?
That's fun.
Because when I see famous people, I don't know, a lot of them are, a lot of times I'm annoyed that they're there because I know it's going to be harder to get whatever I went there to get.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm like, oh, this will fuck up the line.
No, I guess
Who did you see?
Well, the guy that I saw was, of course, who's the main guy in Goodfellas? He's the Chantix commercial dude now.
Are you serious?
Yeah, Ray Liotta. So I saw Ray Liotta at hold on
real quick.
What?
I quit smoking with Chantix.
Yeah.
You know, one of my biggest beefs was never quitting smoking. Now that I can quit, thank you for the script. I feel so much better now. I make fun of that commercial.
Have you seen...
It makes me laugh so hard.
Have you seen Kyle Dunnigan's...
With Chantix.
Spoof of it?
No. Did Dunnigan do something on it?
Dude. Look. Listeners, look this up. Dunnigan does the funniest thing.
I mean, all the shit that Kyle does is fucking awesome.
But this is next level. He goes, I tried everything to quit smoking. Cocaine, everything. Yeah.
Where did you see Ray Liotta?
Okay. I saw him at this shop on Houston in New York. And I was just like, oh, man. I just go, hey, I think you're great. And he's like, okay. And then he bought a jacket. And then I was like, well, I better get that jacket too.
So, you bought the same jacket?
I was like, me and Ray Liotta are jacket buddies.
Because if anybody's like, that jacket sucks, you're like, fucking Ray Liotta bought this fucking jacket.
Well, you know the first time like you get like money that you didn't have, which I've blown.
It's all gone?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Good. But it would be like, how much is that? Like, okay, like $800? I'm never going to stop making money. Yeah.
I'm rich now.
Yeah. I don't know if you're familiar with first week on television guys, but it usually works out pretty good.
I'm going to buy two of these jackets, actually.
Yeah.
That's funny. I have a Ray Liotta story. I can't reveal who told me this story because it's a, I don't want to blow his spot up, but a friend said he was on a plane with Ray Liotta and they were headed to New York for this thing. And he turns and Ray's pounding him back.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And let's talk about airplanes.
He goes, hey, I just want to say I'm a huge fan. I'm also in the business, yada, yada, yada. Ray Liotta's like, oh, okay, great. And then like, you know, he's being polite. He leaves him alone.
Yeah.
And Ray keeps pounding. And then like halfway through the flight,
Ray turns to him. Ray chirps it up.
Now Ray's like,
I get it.
He's like, hey, what movie do you like me in? I swear to God.
That's fucking awesome.
And my buddy tells me, he's like, oh, I like Goodfellas.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's like, oh, yeah. And he's like, well, I mean, there's other films. He names other films. He goes, no, I like Goodfellas too. I like Goodfellas too. And he goes, you want to hear a secret?
Yes. This is so good.
And he goes, yeah. And he goes, you know that scene when I gun butt that guy? And if you haven't seen Goodfellas, fuck you, first of all. Second of all, there's a scene where Ray Liotta goes over because this guy grabs Karen's ass and he gun butts this fucking guy.
He smashes him in the face.
With a gun butt.
Goodfellas is one of five movies that if it's on TV, I'm going to finish it.
Always.
It doesn't matter where it's at.
Always. Dude, always. I'll turn it on and go, I got to finish
it. Shawshank, Forrest Gump, Goodfellas.
Casino for me.
Yeah.
Casino, absolutely. I have to finish it. I'm like, I got to watch this again.
This is great.
Gladiator. He goes, that guy that I gun butted. And my buddy was like, oh, yeah? And he goes, yeah, I fucking hated that guy. And he goes, oh, really? And he goes, yeah. Yeah, he came to set and he was asking too many fucking questions. And I was like, dude, I wish I could really do it for real. I wanted to fucking gun butt that fucking asshole for real. And my buddy was like, oh, shit, yeah, really? And he goes, yeah, and you know what? I saw him years later, like years and years after the film was out and all the success and all that stuff. And he came up to me like a friend, you know, like, hey, he wanted to hug me. And I wanted to hit him again with a gun. And he was like, he's lucky I didn't have another fucking gun. I would have gun butted him again. And my buddy's like, oh, yeah, okay, cool. And he goes, yeah, yeah. Like real reflective and deep.
Yeah. Oh man, I mean
that shows the mind of where Ray Liotta was going. Also going to New York to promote a film that he was like some indie. I don't want to delve too much. Sure. Into it, but he was like, he's like, what are you going for? My buddy explains. He's like, what are you going for? He's like, some bullshit. Can I get another one?
Yeah.
Like, over it. He's at the point when you can tell he's so over it.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Chantix was like, do you want to do a non-smoking commercial?
I don't care.
I don't care. Yeah. Fuck it.
Okay, so when you're on a plane.
Do you want another little sniffer?
Of course.
Okay, keep talking.
So when you're on a plane, and then I'll give you mine, I try to be respectful of the flight attendants. So when they roll by, I go, if I'm LA to New York, I go, can I get just like 3 IPAs. And they'll, you know, sometimes they're like, yeah, of course, this is a 5-hour flight. And sometimes they're like, how about if I gave you one and if you want another, we'll bring you another. I'm like, hey, guess what? I'm going to want another.
I just told you I'm going
to
want another
one. This is a 5-hour flight. I'm trying to save us both some time.
Yeah, it's going
to
happen.
Like, what do you want? Like,
just give them to me.
How do you do it? What is your go-to?
I don't drink beer as much as I used to anymore.
I try to quit beer too, because in my brain, there's no calories in liquor.
There's way more.
No, but in my brain.
Oh, sure, in your head.
Yeah, in my head.
So what I do with this, I sweeten up to the flight attendants.
You got to come in. Sweet.
And then I go, yeah, can you make it double? And they go, yeah, yeah. And they make it double and I go, will you leave me an extra bottle?
Yeah.
I, you know, so sweet. Yeah, and they go, yeah, I mean, we're not supposed to. I go, you know what, it's okay. And I do that thing.
Yeah.
And then usually by the time if I get my second drink, they'll just go, yeah, I got you.
Yeah.
Sometimes totally. I go back to the bathroom or whatever and I just small talk the shit out of them.
So fun back
and
there.
And I'll small talk them and we're having a good time. Mm-hmm. And then they go, where are you sitting? And I'm like, oh, you know,
blah, whatever.
And then she's like, what do you want something? I was like, no, I don't. I'll grab. Can I grab it here? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead. I've actually had them go, yeah, go ahead. And I've grabbed myself a few of the drinks.
Yeah.
You just have to be nice. They don't give a fuck.
They're so used to being mean. People are mean.
Mean to them. Right. Every time that I fly and I'm looking to like get in good with them, you can tell right away if they're going to be in the mood for it or if they're fucking like, it's been the worst 4-day flight path of my life. You're not going to change
me. I got cut off by how I looked. They didn't even let me order one.
Like drunk white guy.
No, it wasn't even drunk. It was just like a 5 a.m. flight from fucking, I don't know, like Charlottesville to L.A.
Right, after the rally.
Well, yeah, history is important.
Did you put your tiki torches in the overhead bins, or where do you guys fit those?
We got them there.
we shipped them.
Good God.
FedEx handled that for us.
So, I was just like, it was like 4 or 5 in the morning. I was like, I have Valium. Like, I have like a couple of them.
Do you take that before you fly?
So I'll pop a Valium and then slam 2 beers. I call it my time travel juice.
Yeah.
And I just wake up where I'm going.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I got...
We're in LA. Plane. You're like, yeah. We are.
Yeah, I was like, dope. I was just like, can I have 2 beers? And the woman goes, I think you're okay. And I was sober. I was like, oh man, I look bad.
That's how you know you look like shit when they're like, you've had enough.
Yeah, but the plane hasn't even taken off yet.
Like, but you've done it all. Yeah. I just took a flight. I took a flight and... It was a 6 a.m. departure.
Which you're like, why am I going to bed? The 6 a.m. departure will ruin 2 days of your life before it.
I just don't go to bed.
Yeah, because you're like, my life's a nightmare.
I stay up. I don't give a fuck. I just stay up. But I do stay up and I have one drink because I will fall asleep the whole time. Then it'll knock me right back out.
Yeah.
The anxiety of doing the plane thing will get me up. But then if I have one drink, I'm like, I'm gone.
Yes.
But this 6 a.m. fucking flight, I couldn't go to sleep because the guy next to me was a meth head. I mean, like fidgety, jittery, like jumpy, all this stuff. And I could see stunk like fucking booze.
Jeez.
And he was ordering booze the entire flight. And they kept giving it to him. because he was holding it together when they would come by. If you have a good mask face, if you have the good, like,
you pull it together.
Yeah, they don't. They'll keep doing it because they. I mean, I don't think there's a limit for them. I don't think so, right? There's a limit how many they can give you at once.
Sometimes they'll be like, are you driving? And then I'm like, no. Who, like, I haven't driven to LAX.
To LAX?
Yeah. No. Like, absolutely. You mean, no. Not. Yeah.
You're like, no. I'd rather walk.
That's not a snobby thing, listeners who don't live in Los Angeles. It's just like $1,000.
Yeah, you can't. No, it's actually the opposite of snobby. To park at LAX is more of a fucking expensive nightmare than being like, I'll take an Uber.
Yeah.
Like, I'll take a fucking Uber and get there and not have to worry about it. Back in the day in LA when I used to fly out of fucking LAX, there was a thing called Super Shuttle.
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever do that?
No, I would take the $98 taxi.
Oh, dude, I would do a Super Shuttle, which is you have to pick up every other person in town. I think Arrested Development did a great episode about it, but it was like. Yeah. I think it was.
You were
like,
in Arrested Development.
I did the newest one, yeah.
I remember being excited when you came on.
It was a huge moment in my life. And then,
yeah, because
of course,
it was when I was still living in that drug house in the hills.
You were in the party den.
Yeah.
With Bud and...
With the Power Violence. It was called the Power Violence Mansion. It was like a full-on...
If people don't know, check out Power Violence. Those guys are fucking... Those guys are party central.
Well, they don't party, but they hang out with guys who do.
Yeah, they like to be around a party.
Yeah,
what's the best way to say that?
They liked it, basically.
They're like a band, and they're not a band.
It was a mansion in the hills that was basically where the Foot Clan hung out.
Yeah,
it was skateboarding on the walls. Yeah, and just air mattresses everywhere.
The Ninja Turtles would have been so proud.
Yeah, the Ninja Turtles would have been like, I like the sewer a little more.
these guys are kind of cool. They're also tough.
I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No. You didn't.
Okay, I thought you were talking about flying.
No. I was saying that I don't remember.
Okay, well, I understand.
And I'm sober
that.
And I don't remember.
Yeah, I'm totally sober.
Wait a minute.
What are you doing? I don't know. Getting cute.
Getting fucking cute.
Getting cute, getting flirty.
Yo, are you... So you're going... Oh, this is... I should have brought this up way earlier. I had a bunch of people submit to...
Half hour
Comedy Central that I could steal their stuff. I had a bunch of people submit songs, and I got all your shit. We're actually going to play a song... At the beginning of this, I've gone too far now.
Well,
but we had a bunch of people could submit songs for this shit, and next week is the guest where we're playing them. So don't worry, it's coming. People were fucking annoyed about it because I had people submit songs over the intro.
You and I like the same music.
True.
You introduced me to Deer Tick.
Yes, I love.
Love Deer Tick.
My range is ridiculous, though. Like
I understand, but
I like hip hop just as much as I like really deep, melodic, dark.
Yeah,
rock?
Like you love National. I remember love. For your birthday, I got you the National High Violet
album.
Vinyl.
Yeah,
which you had vinyl before me, and that was like early.
I still got it. I love. Not there's something weird about a good band on vinyl that makes you feel different than.
It's great.
Some bands, it doesn't matter if you play them through your phone on fucking your sound thing. Mm. Some bands are so much better on
flip.
A record.
You gotta flip it.
It's just the sound is so much, there's something beautiful about that sound. Especially if the band feels like that kind of a band.
Yeah. I put out my album, my comedy album is on vinyl.
Yeah.
It's gone now. I sold them all, which was cool.
Wait, but you gotta have one left.
I've got one
left for you.
I framed for myself. It says, nice try. To Brooks from Brooks.
Did you send one to your mom and dad?
I'm sure they have one.
You gotta send one to them.
I'm sure they have one.
That's always one thing I do. I try to get them one of the things, because in case it'll all go away, like I lose it in the move or it gets lost, they gotta have one of the things.
But that's the coolest thing I ever had, is a pressed vinyl.
That was a picture of you in the woods, right?
Yeah, so for...
What's the name of the album?
It's called This Is Cool,
This
Right?
This Is Cool, Right? Question mark.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which I don't know, but
go listen to it on Spotify.
It's really good.
Or buy the album.
No, don't fucking.
That doesn't exist.
Do not buy it.
Who is it? Comedy Central Records?
No, they didn't want to do it with me, and so I went with Comedy Dynamics. This guy Jack Vaughn, who produced Mitch Altogether,
sure.
And I was like, that's all that matters to me.
Yeah.
And but for the cover, they're like, all right, we want you to be in the cover, because I was like, I didn't want to be in the cover because I like photography and I wanted to be my own photo.
Sure.
On the cover, and they're like, no, you got to be in it, and I was like, okay, but I want to to get around it, I'm like way far in the background in the woods.
Yeah, you are. It looks like a bunch of trees. It just looks like trees.
Yeah, I'm in the. It looks like it's in the middle of the woods.
You're wearing
it's
a red and black flannel.
Yeah, it's in Prospect Park in Brooklyn.
Oh, that's really?
Yeah.
For some reason, I thought it was like.
No, it's Prospect
upstate
Park, Brooklyn.
Or something like that.
But yeah, and then on the back, I took the photo of that. But it's just like, do you what? How do you sell? What do you sell anything on the road?
I sell a poster that I have made by this incredible artist named Jenna Sunday, who makes these great things for me. And a few other artists.
For like that show?
Yeah, for that city. I sell a poster for that city.
That's very neat and cool.
Yeah. And Whiskey Ginger pins are like things I fucking
That's sincere.
Because I can't do shirts and all that. It's not my thing.
I can't. Like, I only sold my vinyl when I
That's
did.
Cool.
I sold the vinyl until it was gone. I felt good about it. I didn't feel like I was ripping anybody off. And then when I would do those, I tried to get out of comedy clubs for a while. It didn't work. But I did a 56 city tour.
Did you rock venues, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I made special posters for those. And it feels cool selling a poster for a tour.
Yeah, I feel like I'm ripping anybody off. For that city. Like, it's this is for you guys and it'll never be made again.
Yes, 2000%.
And you know who likes it? This is crazy. Every city I've done this in, the staff. Every time I leave the city, the staff goes, do you mind if I have a poster? And I'm like, oh yeah, sure. And they're like, oh, I'll pay you for it. I was like, no.
No, you guys are great.
I'll give you the poster. But it's so funny that every staff has been like, that's really cool. Can I get one?
I'm
like,
so nice.
Because it's personalized and I think they feel like.
Yeah, and you're promoting their city and their
country. Yeah, it's you at their city and they feel like, oh, this is cool. It's a little moment in time instead of being like, you know, a shirt with the phrase you've said 100 times.
Yeah, like whatever Japan is da bomb. I remember a guy had with the atomic bomb on it.
That's just like, he bought that like at Washington Square Park. And he was like, he'll take 1,000 of those.
Jeez Louise.
No, yeah, I think you have to, a little personalization is nice. Speaking of which, you want to plug some dates? Where are you going? What's going on?
Oh, yeah.
Let people come see you live.
Well, I only have one show coming up that matters. New York City, May 30th at Littlefield.
Littlefield, May 30th, New York City.
Yeah.
See Brooks Whelan. You can get tickets at.
It'll be on brookswhelan.com.
Brookswhelan.com.
And it's, I'm doing the hands down the tightest hour I've ever done for networks to do my first hour special.
Okay, dope.
And
At Littlefield in New York?
At Littlefield, New York, which is this really amazing. It's where Night Train used to be. It's where. Wow. What's a hot tub with Kurt and Kristen using it? It's great. It's like 300 seat place. It'll sell out.
It's a good number.
It's a great number, man. For guys like you and me.
Yeah, it's a great number.
I can sell 300 tickets in New York.
But it's nice because I think a lot of, like, look, I've gotten to do a lot of big theaters, small theaters. I've gotten to do big comedy club rooms, small comedy club rooms. I just did Arena with Rogan for the first time in my life. And like, of all those things, there's something about a sub 400. It's not about the tickets for me as much as about like, the intimacy of the shows is so much more fun.
300 people who it's like when you see a band before they blow up.
Yeah.
Not that I'm saying I'm gonna blow up, but like
you're not.
Thank you very much. But you know what I mean? Like when you're like at like an early band show that you're like, you like this band too?
Yeah.
And I don't know you, but like we have a common community. So it's like you like what I like and it's this kind of fringe alt thing.
It's a perfect combination of people that really care and the people that want to be there, right?
It's like, so fun.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, by the way, speaking of the National, I saw them at Hotel Cafe with like fucking 30 people. That's how.
Did they play their new record?
No, this was before, I'm saying before they were famous.
Oh, okay.
Before they were famous. Meanwhile, cut to a year later, I saw them open up for REM at the Hollywood Bowl. My wife loathes REM. Hates REM so much, which is awesome. A lot of people are like, why? And she's like, I don't like him. I'm like, I love that she hates
him. I get it.
Yeah. I just love that she hates him. She doesn't give, she's like, fucking don't, I just hate him. We spent all this money on tickets to watch National open up for REM at the Hollywood Bowl. And the moment REM came on, when it got dark, because your opener at the Hollywood Bowl plays when the light is up, it sucks, it's shitty, the sound is whack, they do that shit on purpose. The moment REM got on, she was like, let's go.
That's
and
great.
We did. We went bowling. We got fucked up and went bowling. And then, of course, the next year, the National headlines the Hollywood Bowl, and then fucking the rest of the history.
They did SNL when I was there. I will arguably say.
Oh, I know. Trust me, I was beyond jealous.
Yeah. The first time I got like really a little like, I don't like this, was when Sandler hosted SNL last week. I was like, that would have been cool.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been cool to be there.
National was the best live band I saw. And I saw a lot of cool bands. Arcade Fire.
Awesome.
Kings of Leon.
Awesome.
Black Keys.
Amazing.
One Direction was cool.
They're awesome.
I'm being sincere.
Hey, man, they're good. They're talented.
They were all, yeah, it's like...
We're at an age where I don't care if I admit the truth of someone's talent anymore. That generationally I'm not supposed to like.
I got
it all.
The only bands I didn't go down to see, like didn't go from the 9th floor to the 8th floor was Katy Perry and Imagine Dragons. I was like, I can give a shit.
I feel like you get them. You just know what they are already.
I'm just like also like...
I don't think their live performance is going to do the thing that you'd want them to do.
Yeah, and I always felt like it was...
waking up, taking him.
Yeah, I was like, they're taking a spot from My Morning Jacket. I remember I told Lauren Michaels, I was like, we should have My Morning Jacket on. And he's like 80. And he was like, maybe in 2007. I was like, you snarky burn. Jerk.
Sick burn, though.
Yeah, but I disagree. I love him.
I know, but it's funny that he even knows how to referentially burn them.
Yeah, and I was like, but you're being mean. Like, dude. Oh, I'm sorry. Miley's here. Like, yeah.
He's like, that's right. She's here.
Yeah.
Because she's popular.
Yeah, no,
I mean, you got to go with what's fucking new and popular. Either way. New York City's ass better come out to Littlefield and watch you on May 30th.
May 30th is the only... It's a Thursday. I'm shamelessly promoting it.
It's not shameless. It's good. It's a fucking good thing.
I care about it more than any show I've done, probably.
Is someone opening for you that's a New York guy or girl?
I'm going to just hit up my famous friends the week of.
Smart.
Like,
yeah, smart. So to surprise people a little bit.
Yeah. I want, you know, I don't want to like entice people with like,
no.
I don't want to sell tickets based on anybody else.
Yeah.
But I want it, the people who are there to be like, holy fucking shit.
But it's always more fun to perform with your friends that you're like, isn't this cool that all these people are, you know, like my group of talented friends are in this thing with me together. That's what I think that I was saying that before when I cut myself off and then you were like, did you say, and I was like, I did. Mark Normand was saying how LA has started to cultivate this comedy community. And he's like, New York is starting to catch up. But it is a thing that's happening more than ever now is like, I'd rather us all eat. Do you know what I mean? Like, let's all like raise each 10,000%. Other up. And yeah, it's way more, the shows are more fun.
Yeah.
The days of competitiveness over like, why does he get that spot? Why does she get that? It's like, fuck off. It's better if we're all in it together. Then the fans get more of what they want.
I also think it's also, we're maturing and
you grow up a little bit.
It's like, hey man, if you've done stand up for 10 years hard, you know, and you're at where we're at, like, not that, like, I'm like, if you get something, I'm like, he worked for that.
Yeah.
That is not, nobody gave him that.
At this point is just like, he slipped through the cracks.
Yeah, exactly.
It's impossible.
It's basically like, he hasn't stopped yet.
Yeah. 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 That's more, I'm more blown away when people just fucking keep going and you're like, wow, he's really plugging away. I mean, it's a good thing because someone was talking to me about retirement. Like they were like, oh yeah, my parents are retiring. And they're like, I'm thinking about retirement, and I thought, God, our industry just that word doesn't exist.
Well, I would never want to not do stand-up.
Me too. I'd never want to do something creative. I don't know what it's going to be, but like, I'd have a hard time thinking there's a moment when I go, I'm just going to boat and fish. You know, it's like I want to boat and fish.
Yes, I want to boat and fish, but I also want to like,
I don't want to give this up for those things.
Go up and be like, hey, that guy who claims he's a virgin on The Bachelor, I fucked him. You know, like I want to be able to go up.
Did you, by the way?
Yeah, Coachella last year, dude.
Second weekend
after Jamie XX next to the Umami Burger stand. It was magical.
It's a real specific
joke.
We
looked at each other in the eyes.
Honestly, this could have happened.
No, it did. His name's Colton. We're in love.
Go to brookswheeland.com and buy those fucking tickets. He's the one that took The Bachelor's virginity because all that shit was a
liar. He's a filthy liar.
This weekend I'm in Las Vegas. If you're fucking in Las Vegas, you better come out and see me. I know you're probably blacked out, partying and on drug. Come do them with me.
Where are you gonna? What are you doing in Vegas?
Kimmel's Club.
Yeah, but what do you? What is your?
Oh, what
Vegas?
Do I do?
What do you do there? I'm gonna guess you gamble.
I like to play cards. I like to get a little bit of sauce, play cards, but also keep it together because I got to be there for 4 days.
And also, like, if you can get tore up and lose what you're making that weekend.
Yeah, but I don't gamble like that. I'm not that kind of guy.
I am.
Yeah. You're not playing Vegas. Yeah, don't play Vegas. No.
I'm like, I'll be in Zion until the second I got to be in Vegas because I don't trust myself.
I can chill in Vegas. Well, dude, I shot a show in Vegas for 3 months.
Yeah.
So I had to live in Caesar's Palace. So you had to learn how to temper your fun because you were like, I loved good food and I like gambling a little bit. And I was like, there's too much expensive good food and too much reasons for me to go. I can go have a whiskey, sit at the table and just play and chill. I'm not the kind of guy that goes, I got to get it back. But I am the kind of guy that's like, I want to have some fun and chill out.
Yeah, no,
So it's a delicate balance of like, I could bust out and blow. I'm not going to Artie Lang it at any point. I'm not going to be like, I lost, you know, 80 grand in 10 minutes.
I like retired from gambling at like 22 because
you were gambling prior to for 4 years before that.
Well, in college, I would have $80, and I would go to the casino in Iowa City. It's in Riverside. And I would gamble $60. I'm like, that's 75% of my
$5
net worth.
Tables. Is that what it is?
Yeah. But I'm like, I am comfortable doing this.
Yeah, man. You were all in.
So like my best friend growing up is a guy named Reese, and now he's rich, and he just is. He runs this great company. He's a great businessman. And we were talking the other day. I was like, you still gamble? He goes, it's just tough to get my blood boiling anymore. Like, meaning like, he's like, I need it to where if I lose, it hurts.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. That's a problem with gambling. And I know this sounds like pretentious or annoying or stupid, but like now the money I would gamble with, if I lost it, I'd be like sad, but not like bummed out.
Right.
But if I won a little bit of money, mm-hmm. I would also not care. That sounds really terrible
to say, but
I'm at a financial point where I'd be like,
there's no point where your blood's going to get boiling.
Yeah,
you got to get that blood boiling. Yeah, it needs to sting.
No, but that's a good thing because this is the point financially where you know you shouldn't do it big anymore because then you'll find yourself in a bad place.
Right, but
like I lost $50,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Like that's how I feel. Like this is the cutoff point where I go, I'm going to spend a little bit of money, and if I lose it, this is literally my philosophy. I always say I take the money out of the ATM that I'm literally going to spend for mm-hmm. the tables, and if it lasts me a couple of days, great. And if I lose it in a couple of days, I'm done.
Yeah, you have great self-control.
I don't ever go back. Well, just with that.
I'm saying with that.
Who do I
got to suck?
With this shit, I'm like, oh, yeah. I got to have another one.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'd rather have four more of these at the bar than go spend another fucking grand at a table.
100, yes.
So I'll be in Vegas trying to control myself at Jimmy Kimmel's new club.
Go check him out.
Go see me. Go to AndrewSantino.com. And then in 2 weeks, I'm at Raleigh at Good Nights. I haven't been in a couple of years.
I just did a guest set there with Nikki Glaser.
Love.
Because I was doing the Raleigh Improv, and both clubs are great.
Dude, I love Good Nights. I love Raleigh. It's a fucking phenomenal city. And then next month, I'm in fucking Connecticut and San Diego at the end of June. Go to AndrewSantino.com and peep all that shit.
You have Foxwoods?
No, I'm doing a Stress Factory. I did it in...
Okay.
Yeah, they, you know, after the whole thing with Pete, I wanted to jump on all over that. Do you know about all this stuff with Pete Davidson, like walked out of the Stress Factory because of the...
No, the one in New Jersey, New Brunswick?
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Oh, dude, you got to Google it.
I'm not into the business of looking up what Pete's up to.
No. It was all over the fucking news. He walked out because the owner talked about Ariana Grande and fucking...
I like Pete.
It was just a funny... He got mad. He said, don't talk about those people. And then he talked about the people, and then people were like... Then Pete was like, that's it, I'm leaving. He just walked out.
Yeah, he has every right to.
Yeah, he's got his rules, dude. You got your fucking rules.
Hey, man, you got a guy who's selling that many tickets? Listen to what he says.
Sure, yeah, fucking listen to what he says. Also, comedy's a weird business.
Yeah.
Comedy's a fucking nightmare business. I can't believe we're doing it for money.
I would do it for free. I got banned from Hyenas in Dallas.
Sounds about right.
Well, it's not my fault.
I've gotten banned from one club. Yeah. Governors. Governors? Governors,
know.
Long
what,
Island.
What happened? Let's do quick stories. Why you got banned and why I got banned?
I got banned because there was a table of hecklers that were friends with the owner, manager, baby, and he let them talk the whole time. I couldn't sell a ticket to save my life. This is when I first started comedy,
right? And still now,
I'm selling great tickets, dude. You want to go toe to toe on ticket numbers? How many people are going to come see me in fucking Vegas and Raleigh and San Diego? Who's going to go to this Littlefield bullshit? You know what? I take it back. Don't go see this fucking cunt in New York. Don't. He sucks. Fuck him.
Good to see you.
It's good to see you. I love you. It was when I first started fucking touring, and this guy, he let these people talk through the show, and he was friends with them. He was chumming it up with his table of guys, and I was like, what the fuck, man? Like, yep. They talked through my opener. He didn't give a shit. And I was so hurt because it hurts. When you first start headlining and no one...
You're nervous.
Sucks, dude.
Like,
it sucks.
Like, now I'll take a stand. I'll sink the whole room until the table leaves.
Well, but I'll kick him out because the rest of my...
That's what I'm saying.
There,
I'm like, you're gone, and I'll make the room uncomfortable for 5 minutes. Then I'll get everybody back
together.
Totally.
But it
takes confidence and years of headlining.
It takes a long time. And I was too new.
For you to be like, get the fuck out. I don't care if everybody's going to be weird for 10 minutes.
Right.
We'll get it back.
Right. But I didn't do that instead.
Because why would you? You're
well,
new.
But I did do a thing that a veteran would do in a bad way. So
okay.
I said, you guys are going to fucking talk. I'm getting paid anyway. I'm just going to sit up here. You guys have ruined the show for everyone else.
Oh.
And so I sat on the stool for 20 minutes. Yeah, I sat for 20 minutes and slowly people trickled out.
Oof.
And the manager or whoever was like, that was the most unprofessional thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
And I was like, so was letting a table of eight dudes yell and scream and fuck off to the host and the feature. And he, you know, in so many words, was like, I don't want you performing here again. Well, and I was like, him. I'll never come back to this fucking... I was like, fuck that shit.
Yeah.
I don't know who it was, owner, manager. It was back in the day.
Mine was a long time. Mine, I feel like, was a rare, not my fault moment where I flew in Thursday, get there. I'm supposed to do the Plano Hyenas. They're like, hey, we rented it out. It got rented out. It's a private party. We don't need you. They have three locations. I go, can I get a guest set on one of the other locations? They said no. I'm like, I'm fucking in town.
Yeah, you're in town.
I flew here.
Right.
So I'm like, if I can't get up there, I'm going somewhere else to do stand-up. So I go do an open mic. And I just fucking go off on hyenas. And then I do the weekend, good times. One of those open micers rolls in, tells the whatever brothers, the guys who own it, is what I call them. I just call them that.
The whatever brothers.
Yeah, the whatever brothers are like, this guy talking shit. And they're like, we pay for him to be here to talk shit. I'm like, yeah, you guys flew me out here and not let me do stand up.
Yeah, you fucked me off.
Yeah, so I don't feel bad about it.
Fuck them. Yeah, fuck them. You pick who you associate with. I don't remember who even that guy was out there, if he was a manager or the owner, but I'm sure he doesn't even remember because it was such a fucking long time ago. It was a wash weekend.
It's so fun to be like, I don't need this. Like,
yeah, you don't. Well, you don't need it to. You don't need to be treated like shit. I mean, right. I've said it adamantly on this podcast and on other podcasts. There are certain clubs that treat you well, certain people that treat you well, certain families that treat you well that own clubs and like
Madison Comedy on State.
I've said it a million times. Yeah. Fucking Wendy in Denver, Madison Comedy on State. I think the Bronson family that runs the Edmonton room and Arizona and their Minnesota room. I think the Bronsons are fucking good people. I think there's good people that just run good rooms that are nice to you, that try their best to be cool to you.
My favorite, Bloomington. Jared runs Bloomington Comedy Attic. I like, I know they're in some heat right now, but I like the Acme in Minneapolis.
Heat, why? They're having Louis on this week. Oh, Louis and Acme, yeah.
Yeah, which I mean, it's none of my business.
Yeah, I don't really give a fuck what other people are doing or what other people are doing shows except for the
people. People hit me up to be like, Louis did Raleigh, and they're like, you should cancel.
Louis did Good Nights?
No, the Raleigh Improv. Oh, like, right. You should cancel your shows at Raleigh. I'm like, I'm have nothing to do with this. I'm not going to cancel my shows.
Let me put it like this. Imagine people getting mad. But there was a comic. I don't want to call him the fuck out, but it pissed me off that he was like, I won't play at any club that fucking Louis C.K. played at. And I was like, get the fuck out of it. What the fuck are you talking about? This is about my business and me.
I'm not selling Louis tickets.
No shit. It's about my weekend.
I'm not opening.
To say that I vouch for every comedian before me and thereafter me at that venue is as dumb as anything I've ever heard.
Right.
Where do your clothes come from? You're going to check down where everything you've ever done comes from, all the decisions that people have made before you in a place prior to you. It's about you and your morals and your ethics, not about those before you.
Set up
you.
The environment you want. Todd Glass is the king of that.
The
Set
best.
Up the environment you want.
He brought mashed potatoes for me here.
Curate your environment. I don't let clubs play the music. I make them play the
playlist. You do what you want.
Yeah,
because right?
I'm like.
By the way, the guy that was before you, that has nothing to do with you.
Exactly. But I'm saying when I roll in the club, I'm like, play this music. I don't need fucking jock jams. Right. I want chilled out vibes.
Brooks Wheeling.
I don't want it. Y'all ready to get fucked tonight?
Y'all ready for this?
And I'm just like, you guys used to have Furbies? Yeah.
It's so true. You can't care about what other people... that whole Louis thing made me so mad about where he performs. I will perform at what any club wants to book me for my fans to come see me. That is a bullshit, nonsense, fucked up, virtue signaling thing to put online. I'm going to perform where I'm going to perform for my fucking fans. I don't give a fuck who was there before me. By the way, that's like saying there's plenty of people that do comedy that perform at these clubs that I think are shit, trash, not comedians.
You ever watch?
So what? So are you gonna go? I won't perform there if the Yakimo brothers or whoever the fuck performs there because they're garbage. It's like, no, dude, it's for my fans that weekend for me.
There's a club in LA. I won't say, but like, I can't watch any of the comedians who go up before me because they're so bad and the crowd laughs. That by the time I go on stage, I'm mad at the crowd.
You're angry at them.
I'm like, right. You thought that was good. So I hang out in the back and I don't listen to anybody.
But that's a shared show, right?
Yeah.
So for your weekend, you cultivate your fans.
Yeah.
And I hope that continues in comedy. All I got to say is keep supporting fucking live comedy. I don't care who the fuck you go to see. Go see people. Go see this fucking piece of shit. May 30th in Littlefield.
Rude.
BrooksWheeland.com. One of my oldest friends in comedy.
Yeah.
I love you very much.
Also listen to Andrew's episode on, I have a podcast called Entry Level.
Yes. A great podcast called Entry Level. I'll put all that stuff where? in the description. I know right. everyone complains. Where
it's
can
a,
I
it's
find
a fun,
it?
It's a fun podcast where I interview. You're the second guest.
Yeah, number two.
Well, the first like one that wasn't just a pilot, but it's where I interview all of a bunch of comedians about all the jobs that we were bad at before right. we got into comedy.
Our first job, our entry level job.
Yeah, and if you like comedy, I've gotten like 80 plus episodes. If you like comedy, I guarantee there's a comedian you
you'll love
like.
It. I promise you'll love it.
You don't have to listen to all of them. Just look, you'll find somebody that you
listen
like,
to
I
all
love
of them.
Here.
Listen to all of them.
Well, you do all right.
I
three
listen
times
to every
in a row?
Single one. There's not. I haven't missed one.
Because there's hidden messages.
Well, there's no hidden messages. It's pretty right on the nose. The whole podcast is just pretty blatant. It's pretty forward, straightforward. It just talks about old jobs.
I guess.
Brooks, it's great that you came.
And I love you, man.
I love you too.
This is really fun.
This is great. Bye.
Thank you. Whisk, whisk, whisk.